Man, thank you, Tyler. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Thank you, Tyler, for that song on serving. You know, that's one of the parts of our mission statement. Giving back is about serving, and serving the Lord is certainly what God has called us to do. Last week, we began a brand new series entitled Engage. Engage. And this series, of course, is centered around what we learned about in the book of Acts, about how that this early church, they were engaged together. Last week, we looked at the fact that as a church, that there were times when if you became a believer in the Lord Jesus, that you could lose your possessions, that you could lose your family perhaps, you could lose some freedoms, even to the place you could lose your life. And we learned that we're interdependent, that God taught us from the scriptures that as believers that we are interdependent on each other for encouragement and for love and for living before a world seeing, if you would, the love of Christ displayed. And we looked at that and we talked about this week. I want us to look at the subject of being engaged with compassion or in compassion. How is that going to look for us today? And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But what had taken place in this early church is the church was growing. I mean, it was really getting with it. It was growing pretty rapidly. And just as anything, when it grows, there are growing pains that come with it. There are times when you have growing pains. And the church had gotten to the place where they were starting to have growing pains, and they had a problem. And they had to deal with the problem. Now, here's the thing about problems. Number one, because you have a problem doesn't mean necessarily there's something wrong. Sometimes problems come just as natural as anything else with growth and other things. And that's what they were dealing with. And, you know, problems can be important things. For example, if you think of this Thomas Edison. This is Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison realized that we had a problem. Darkness is a problem. If you need to, find something in the dark, or you need to read or whatever, that Thomas Edison, through a series of experiments, developed what we are now used to as what is called the light bulb. And that's because Thomas Edison took an understanding of a problem and turned it into a solution. There's a man by the name of John Walsh. Perhaps you've heard of him on America's Most Wanted. His son was kidnapped when he was 9 years old. And it was a major problem for him. His son was kidnapped, later found murdered and decapitated. And he, instead of reacting in a way in which, you know, he kind of just got angry and retreated and hid out from everyone, he decided that he would create a watch group that turned into be what is called the America's Most Wanted, to find criminals all over America who might be preying on other people. He turned a problem into a solution. And here's my question for you today. How do you deal with a problem? What if it's in your family? How do you deal with that problem? I mean, are you finding a right kind of solution? Are you looking for a solution that can matter and make a difference? You know, some people think the solution is just to destroy it, to split up the family, just ruin everything, just stop it all together. It's kind of like, and by the way, don't be like this, but it's kind of like the guy that his car wouldn't start, so he got angry and set it on fire. And some people do that. When a problem comes, their reaction is, well, let's just kind of just ruin everything, and that'll make all the difference in the world, right? So the car doesn't start, so you just go and push it over a cliff. And that's not the way you deal with this. That's not how you find a solution. That's not how you deal with a problem. You see, honestly, a problem is an opportunity for us to realize that God has the solution. There is a solution. God has a solution for all of us. And problems can cause us to engage in finding God's wisdom on having this solution so that we can implement that and correct, if you would, the problem that we might have. That's where this church is. This church was dealing with a problem. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, if you would, please. Whether you have it on an app or a Bible or whatever. And if you'll turn there, and if you don't have any, you can look at the screens. I have it here for you. But I want to show you what the problem is, and I want you to see the solution. In verse number 1 of Acts chapter 6, the Bible says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Now this morning I want us to look at this problem and see how God gave them a solution. And if you're not a Christian yet today, this will give you a little insight into how Christians deal with problems, how churches deal with problems, how churches find God's solution in a problem. And not being a Christian yet, there is a solution to that problem as well. When we're not a Christian, that means that we need Jesus. And God says that Jesus came so that we can have that taken care of in our life. And we praise God for the fact that He loves us so much He was willing to do that. But I want to call your attention to this passage so that we can understand what is going on. In this church was a primarily Jewish church. And there were two basic groups of people that made up the church. You have what's called the Greek-speaking or the Hellenist group of Jews who were outside of Jerusalem, and somehow or another they had arrived in Jerusalem, and this particular group was one group. They made up that group called in the church. They were Hellenists. They were Greek-speaking. They could not speak Aramaic. But they had been a follower of Judaism. Then you have the other group, which would be the Aramaic, the Hebraic Jews, or those who were within Jerusalem. They spake Aramaic, which was the common language in the first century. And they also spoke Greek, Koine Greek. And so what they would do is they came together in this church, and evidently the outsiders, who were the widows in the daily food distribution, those outside ladies were being, or it says widows, were being neglected. They weren't getting their food. Now, this was a problem. They could have simply said, well, you know, you're outside and you're not part of us and all that. Well, that wasn't the case. They cared enough. They wanted to take care of the physical needs of everyone they could whom God brought to their aid. And they want to take care of all of their needs. And so the Bible said they had to find out what the solution was. So they went to God. And God laid on their heart that they would choose 7 men who could accompany the other 12 who were ministering, that they could help with the distribution. You see, the truth of the matter is the Bible said that it was a problem because they were neglecting something that was more important and a higher priority, and that was God's Word. That was the real issue, was that they were neglecting what God said. For the apostles, that was their job. And the Bible makes it very clear that this church having this problem, they had to come up with a biblical solution. How can they deal with that? And we find that Paul speaks about this same thing with the church today. In fact, church problems often give us an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ. Paul writes about this when he speaks of the fact in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. He says this, he says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." So this church situation now enabled them to now try to come together, get an answer, and demonstrate, if you would, the love of Christ. This is where the compassion comes in. You see, there's lessons that we learn. I mean, here it is. They have 5,000 people that make up the church. They have 12 men who are ministering to 5,000. Now, how many of you agree with me that if you had 12 trying to take care of 5,000, that would be dramatically difficult? How many of you agree with that? Amen? No doubt about it. Because one, they can't be in all places at the same time. They can't be at everything and know everything about everybody. It would be impossible. It just couldn't happen. They had to have some help. They had to have something, a better solution to that. And they realized that they had been guilty, because what they were doing is spending all of their time apparently feeding the widows and caring after them, and then some were being neglected. They had to run back and take care of the Word of God and take care of all these things. And so they were being put in all different directions, and they had to make a decision. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to take care of it? We're neglecting pastoral responsibilities. And so they stepped back and said, "Look, we've got to have this solution. And we've got to have some help." And 7 men were selected to be a part of that help. Now, how do we understand now? That's the problem in the first century. How would that apply to us today? Well, as our church, we are the church. I think Brother Shamsi mentioned that. We make up the church today. We're a local church. And there are many churches all over, different sizes. If size does not matter, it's just kind of how a church is and who we are. And so we have a church here that, whatever number, we have 3 pastors that serve with this church ministry. Let me get a few more of these. And I want us to kind of see how this applies to us, because there's a really good illustration here to get this picture. So in this church building, we have 6 sections, okay? And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to just find in each of these sections, I want to give a card out to someone, or some cards, maybe I should say some cards, okay? And then what I'd like for you to do is, in your section, if you would please, just hang on to them, I would like for every person to get a card, okay? Every person get a card. We'll give this to Luke. And we're going to give this to right here. And let me find somebody else. Oh, Joe back here. Give it here. And in just a minute, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Wait. Hey, wait. Man, there's always one rebel in a group, isn't there? Or 2, maybe. No, sorry. Okay. All right. And we're going to give it to you. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Do you realize if we're making up this church that every one of us in here, we have needs? Every person in here has a need. You have some kind of need. It's either a job situation that you're praying about, or maybe you just found out you lost your job. There are some people in here, perhaps maybe they just got bad news last week. There might be someone in here who, quite frankly, they may just have some struggle with their children. There are people in here who may have gotten a bad medical report. found out that they came down with cancer. I mean, it could be a whole host of needs. Now, you realize in a group, in a church like ours, that represents a ton of needs. And as a pastor, I would love to be able to meet every person's need. And what I mean by that is, do what I can to help meet that need. I can't do that by myself. There's no way I can. There's no way that two people can. There's no way that three people can. So what we understand then is that we're sharing the ministry together toward each other. Does that make sense? Okay, now, you got the cards. Would you pass out for me these cards as Chuck was doing? He demonstrated that for us. If you pass out to every person in the group, everybody in your section, just in your section, pass out a card. Make sure everybody gets one. Everybody needs a card. Everybody should have a card. When you get your card, we kind of show it to me, so I'll make sure you got it. Everybody got? Okay. All right. You got your card. Everybody got a card? Brother Escobar got a card back there for everybody. All right, we're holding up. Everybody has a card, right? Let's see. Who doesn't have a card? All right, what does it say on the front of the card? Compassion. All right, the reason why it says compassion is because every one of us in here, all of us are asked by God that we be a compassionate church member toward each other. That's what God says. God says that in that compassion, if I'm going to be compassionate, that means that for me, that my responsibility as a church member is that I want to help others. You know, there's kind of this role that has been confused to think that the only person that's supposed to have compassion is the paid pastor. That he's the one that's been paid to do this. That he's the one been paid to do the ministry, and we just kind of go to him, and he takes care of the ministry. So if I have a need, I go to him. I pay him to do that. But the problem is, when everybody has a need at the same time, I can't do that. And neither can any of the other guys do that. But the truth of the matter is, our needs are ongoing 24/7. There are times when we have needs, we all have needs. In fact, that's what we're looking at in picture. Now, I want to take you to another passage and look at this and explain this a little more thoroughly. Hang on to your card, it'll make sense in a minute. See, Ephesians chapter 4. But before we go there, I want you to consider what what the scriptures say. The 12, which made up the church pastor staff of this early church, they said it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Now what that means is not that they're unwilling to do that. It just simply says they can't do that. They don't have the time. They don't have the energy, the resources. Because here's something I've learned, that if you add something to what you're already doing, you have to take away from something you're doing. In other words, the more you add, the less can be done and the less effective it is. Make sense? So in other words, if you add it to what someone else is already doing, whatever load it is, and that's, by the way, that's just kind of a law of just humanity. I mean, if you put more on a person at work, while they're doing it, they're going to take away more time from something else they're doing, or the quality and production will go down, the efficiency of the work goes down. That's just the way it is. And so when we think about ministering to each other, we have to understand that the ministry is not just to one person or two or three or five or ten, but the ministry, quite frankly, is all of us ministering together. That's what it says. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to go there, I want to show you a couple of verses. Paul picks up on this very model And he says in Ephesians 4, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What this means is that the pastor, he has a responsibility. And his priority is to God's word and to prayer. That's what he's supposed to be doing. That's his function, his job. He's administrator, yes. Yes, he's the under-shepherd, and yes, he is to do what he's supposed to do. No doubt about that. But when the biblical pattern that's established in the book of Acts, and that role is put into place, we understand that by doing that God can do a dramatic work and move that church forward for God. You see, here's the bottom line. The ministry is not for a select few. The ministry is all of us ministering and serving each other. The ministry is not to be held in the hands of just one person, but it's to be shared among all of us. You see, we're just normal people like anyone else. But as we share in the ministry, as we empower people to serve in the ministry, what an amazing impact a church can have in a community. It is an amazing thing. No doubt about that. I think about that as when we hand out cards. Now, let's just suppose. Now, who do we have? Let's see, over here we had Debbie. Okay, Debbie, you had it. Chuck. Luke. Brother Escobar. Joe. All right, so we all had someone in the group. Now, let me ask you a question. Just think for a minute here with me. Are you guys awake? Amen. Boy, it's real quiet this morning. Maybe this is a whole new... Hey, let me just let you know something. I've been praying for this for years. God, what can we do to be more efficient and more effective in our ministry? How can we better minister to our people? What can I do to help us to be... You know, I'm only one person. But God, I want to be able to just kind of slice and dice myself up. And literally, I don't want to burn out for God. And I mean by that, I don't want to burn out. I don't want to get to the place where... Because, can I tell you something? In case you haven't noticed this, I'm a little bit older than I was when I first came here. But not only that, but I'm hopefully a little wiser than I first came here, thinking that I could do it all myself. But I began to pray and said, God, how can we best serve each other and do what you want us to do? Okay? And so what God took me to and kept showing me, hey, here in the book of Acts, here's what happened. There are people in our church that can serve and help one another. That's God's intent in the New Testament. Okay, think with me for a minute. We have leaders in here. Okay, let's just say we have each person that made up of these six sections. Let's suppose that they're leaders. All right? If I would have handed out those cards myself, let me ask you a question. How many people, if we take it from the viewpoint of a leader, how many leaders would there be in the church if I handed out every card myself? One. Only one. But is that fair to anyone else who is a leader? All right. Now, if I took that same scenario and said, okay, I hand out a card to Debbie, I hand out a card to Luke, I hand out a card to Brother Escobar, I hand out a card to Chuck over here, and in other words, if I took each one of these and said, okay, this is your group section, you lead it. How many leaders do I have now? There'll be seven, right? Because there'll be one passing out the cards to the leaders, and there'll be seven. Now, how many of you agree with me that seven is much more effective than one? How many agree with that? Amen? Because the bottom line is empowering leadership goes and says, hey, look, here's yours, and here's your, and as we serve together, as we're helping one another, these people could be much more effective than one guy trying to serve us 200 people. That's why when you have small groups, we're talking about small groups, you have 12, maybe 15 people, you have a leader, someone who's praying and they're sharing, and then within those groups, we're ministering to each other, we're sharing our needs, we're caring one another, we're getting to know each other, we're helping. That's what they did in the first century. That's how they did it. That's how they grew together. And in fact, what happened is that the church became so compassionate toward one another and helping each other that what happened is that the ministry began to move dramatically on down the road. In fact, you read that what happened back in that passage, the Bible says that no doubt about it, that they were just growing exponentially. You see, when we share the ministry and we work the ministry together and we're involved in the ministry together, the more lives are being touched and the more people are being affected and see the love of Christ in us because we're sharing the ministry together. This also keeps the churches strong. It helps the churches to grow. You see, it's kind of like, hey, if you're on a football team, and I know some of you have been on football teams, but let's suppose you're on a football team. Let me ask you a question. What is the goal of the offense? What's the goal of the offense? The touchdown, right? Isn't that the goal of the offense? Hello? Amen? That's the goal. I mean, everybody sitting on the sideline knows the goal is the touchdown. And when we work as a church together, we understand that we attach ourselves to the vision. The vision statement is to help people take their next step in following Christ. And when we attach to that, whatever place we have in that, we are doing what God wants us to do. That's our goal. And in moving the ball forward or in moving our church forward, we're doing this together because we want every person to take their next step in following Christ, whatever that would be. The biblical model is totally blessed. Verse 7, the Bible said that, I mean, they said the word of God increased greatly. The number of the disciples are multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests, and that is those who were non-believers, turned to the Lord. They realized that Jesus was the Savior. If you're here today and you've never done that, realize that Jesus is the Savior. He is the one that can make the difference in our life. And that by trusting in Jesus and realizing that He did come, that He did die for me, that He made the difference in my life so that I can know that everything settled between me and the Lord. This brought great compassion. The compassion of the church grew. The people outside the church saw this realistic role model of what God was doing, and they were struck by that. You see, the reason more people started following Jesus is because they saw so much compassion toward each other that they wanted to be a part of that loving group. This is how God teaches us through these problems. In fact, Jesus commented on that when He said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." So compassion. That's what I want to challenge us with today. Engage in compassion. In your church, engage in compassion. Now, how can we engage? Well, there's ways to engage. Number one is to believe on Jesus. Just believe on Jesus. That might be, you need to engage in knowing Jesus. Realize that Jesus is the way to heaven, and by taking your next step is in accepting Jesus, realizing that Jesus can make a difference in your life. You can start by marking in your service program. There's a place where it says, I'd like to know more about being a Christian. You could start there. Maybe today you're ready to say, you know, I need to get on board. I'm ready to go. I want to start. I want to take my first step. Start today. Maybe for some of you this morning, it might be that you have become a Christian, but you never have made that next step of baptism. That's something that you know you need to investigate, something you need to do. You need to take care of that. We can do that too as well. You might need to take care of that today. You can mark that on your service program, in your connection card there. Pull that out and mark that. Or let us know. Just talk to us and say, hey, I would like to know that. That might be your next step to engage. Or perhaps to stop dating the church and say, you know what, this is my church. I need to be a member here. I need to be a member here of the church. And let me encourage you to sign up for the Next Step class. That Next Step class is Next Step 101. It meets on Sunday morning at 10 to 11 for 3 weeks. And go over some basic things about the Christian life in the Bible. And then there's a 201, which will be the next 3 weeks, that goes over specifics about what it means to be a membership. I encourage you to sign up for that. Be a part of that. Or maybe for some of you, you've been a member here for a long time, and you say, you know what, I want to get engaged. I want to help people like you're talking about, Pastor. I want to help our church to be an Acts church. How do we do that? Well, perhaps for you, it'd be to sign up for a small group. Help others in that group. You know, we're offering things for people to get involved and to learn and create environments where people can grow and learn together and be a blessing to each other and learn some things biblically. Be connected to each other and the Bible. What a difference it would make. And I want to encourage every one of us here today to make the decision. You know, what's interesting is you read the rest of the passage in Acts chapter 6, what happened was that the lay people became dramatic leaders and impacted in the first century as much as the apostles did. Because they said, we want to do what God says. See, the Holy Spirit of God blesses. And He blessed how they did that. May God help us to engage with compassion. Heavenly Father.